Welcome to some amazing discussions from the voices of young America. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. In the next hour, you'll hear from leading women in academics, business, entertainment, and more. Now, here are your hosts.
In the 21st century, companies are not just specializing in one medium of expertise. Instead, many are finding ways to become involved in countries around the world to bring unlimited opportunities and resources to their citizens. Join us today as we learn about the groundbreaking achievements of one of these companies, Intel, and how they have carried out many achievements to benefit generations to come. Welcome to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are here today with Ms. Suzanne Fallander. How are you doing today, Ms. Fallander?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you so much for being a part of our show. And just to start out, wouldn't you mind please giving us a little bit of a background on yourself?
Sure. So I've spent most of my career in one way or another working on corporate responsibility issues, from environmental responsibility to social impact programs to my newest focus on girls and women's empowerment. But I'll say, if you had asked me when I was in high school or college if I'd be working at a large multinational technology company and loving it, I think I would have thought you were crazy. In college, I had majored in international relations with a focus on human rights. I also double majored in music and was really drawn to kind of social impact topics and figured I would work for a nonprofit or maybe the government. But over the years, more and more companies have been taking their corporate responsibility roles seriously and actually coming up with new innovative ways to minimize their negative impact on the environment, invest in their employees in new ways, and also designing products and investing in programs that have a positive social impact. So I had started my career out in a financial services company that had a socially responsible investing division, so I spent first part of my career researching companies' environmental and social records. And it was through that role that I actually found there were people inside companies whose responsibility and full-time job it was to manage corporate responsibility issues. So after I went and got my MBA, I ended up at Intel and have been working ever since on these issues. And about a couple years ago, a team internally was looking at how do we really look at maximizing social impact of our education and our technology programs. And the answer that kept coming back was we needed to increase our investment in how these programs impacted girls and women. And so I can talk a little bit about more as we get into the conversation about the details of that, but I think it was that important moment of saying this is really something, an issue that cuts across many different areas of social impact. And there's a huge untapped opportunity for companies and other organizations to invest.
Absolutely. And why do you believe that this trend occurred where different companies were starting to become more socially responsible in their own ways?
I think it was a number of factors. One of the areas and factors was socially responsible investors and activist organizations who started engaging companies in dialogue. And asking companies, you know, have you thought about your environmental performance? Have you thought about publishing information and sustainability reports that would help the public and investors understand how you're managing potential risks and opportunities in your business? And I think as that conversation started, then you had people inside companies and academics looking at, you know, there are really important financial and strategic implications of not taking these issues seriously. And so you started to end up with people inside companies who started to specialize, who started to manage these issues more aggressively. And in the beginning, it was really looked at minimizing risk and trying to do less harm. Increasingly, you're seeing companies look at this is actually a business opportunity and a way to differentiate themselves in the market with not just investors, but also with potential employees. One thing we're seeing and we're hearing a lot about is that more employees, new employees and people in college today using this as a decision factor about where they want to go work, that they want to work for a company that's socially responsible.
Right. And just the idea of socially responsible, it might have something to do with the pressures that society puts on these companies. No company wants to be put in the limelight for a negative reason of being socially irresponsible and neglecting their duties as not just a company, but a coalition of humans trying to make the world a better place. And with that being said, Intel's involvement in being socially responsible, the Intel's Global Girls and Women Initiative, correct? What is that about?
Yes. So this is our set of programs to empower girls and women through education and technology. And we're focused in three main areas. The first is about closing the gender gap in education. As we were doing the research I was talking about, we talked with a number of development agencies and other groups who were focused on the fact that there were 66 million girls around the world not in school. That's a staggering number of girls who are not able to get educated. And there are many different barriers and reasons why that's occurring. But what we started out a few years ago is to say, how do we help as a company lend our brands, bring together our different partners to try to change that? And so one of the projects that we got involved in early on and became a founding strategic partner for was the Girl Rising film and social action campaign. And it's probably one of the things that I've been most proud to be involved in during my time here at Intel. And this film, which was much more than a film, focused on nine girls in nine countries and how education transformed their lives and the opportunities available to them. And the social action campaign has led to this film being shown really in a grassroots way in countries all around the world. We had a screening at the World Bank. We had a screening at the State Department. We've screened it with our Intel employees and with employees of our customers like Dell and Cisco. And what has really struck me is how many schools and students have organized their own screenings of the film. So we're excited that actually that work is continuing going forward. We never expected it to continue to have quite this momentum, and so there's a lot of information that people can get involved in by going to girlrising.com to learn how to host a screening, how to get involved, how to join the community. The second area is where girls are in school. We have found that there's still a really large gap in terms of girls going into technology and engineering disciplines. Just to study science, technology, engineering, and math, and also to consider staying in those fields and having careers in that area.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, I think it was 2012 or the latest numbers, we have only 18% of computer science degrees were earned by women. And that's actually down from a decade before. And so what we've been doing is investing in a number of programs and working with local universities to encourage more girls and young women to go into these fields and to stay in those fields.
Right.
And so that's been really a lot of fun to talk with. I've had a chance to talk directly with a lot of those students in those programs. And then the third area, and we can talk more in detail about this, but it's our focus on technology empowerment
mm-hmm.
for women. And this was an area, just like with education and the huge gap that we saw there, we looked at what the internet gap was. And we helped sponsor a study called Women in the Web. And this report analyzed what the size of the gap was in developing countries. And what it found was that in developing countries where we studied, about 23% fewer women were online than men. And in some regions, like sub-Saharan Africa, this gap was about 45%.
Mm-hmm.
But the paper also went in and looked at, well, what was the potential for closing this gap, not just from a women's empowerment perspective, but how could it help drive economic growth?
Absolutely.
And so it projected out that if you were able to bring another 600 million women online, you could contribute an estimated between 13 and 18 billion to the annual gross domestic product across 144 developing countries.
Right.
So I think there's what we try to look at is when we're looking at where we're investing, we try to start with the data. We try to start with looking where others are focused and how do we come together on these issues and partner to try to drive impact and close these gaps.
Absolutely. And I personally believe that the efforts that Intel is making are so monumental and so inspiring. And like you mentioned before, we will go into more depth for each segment of those initiatives as well. But for right now, we are going to take a break. Remember, we do want to hear from all of our listeners out there. Remember to go to facebook.com/womeninvesting and on Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen. But once again, let's take a break. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing, Women and Girls.
Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids channel. Bon appetit.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
Join us every week for the Paper Hope Street Team. None of our topics are off the table. This is a program that you can listen to and discuss with your family. From the pages of the Paper Hope blog to the internet radio airwaves, we'll talk about the topics you want to talk about, such as friendship and relationships, or some more controversial issues about sex, drugs, and underage drinking. Join the Paper Hope Street Team live every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. Let's talk soon. You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are speaking here today with Ms. Suzanne Fallander from Intel Corporation. And before we went to the break, we were giving an overview of the various efforts that Intel is making to be socially responsible. And personally, I recently watched Girl Rising. That is the movie that was just mentioned in the first segment about the stories of the nine girls and their pursuit for education. And I would just love to reiterate the importance of this movie and how inspiring the movie is in projecting the wants and desires for these girls in underdeveloped countries to chase down that dream for education. So, Ms. Fallander, how excited was Intel at the prospect of being able to support a documentary with such a strong message?
We were really excited. I mean, we had come to this decision that we were going to increase our investment in girls and women. And around that same time, we were approached by an organization that had was going to make this film and was looking for partners. And what they wanted, though, is they didn't want just a partner that would fund the making of the film. They wanted a partner that would really work with them on building the social media campaign, trying to bring others along to activate the campaign as well. And so it really has been a very interesting journey and something very different than we had done before. We had done many different social responsibility programs and partnerships in the past, but we certainly hadn't done something on this scale. We hadn't sponsored a film like this before. And so we learned quite a bit as well. I never thought I'd learn quite so much about film distribution and production. But in the process of putting this together, we really have been able to bring our respective strengths to the table. So, you know, we had this group of wonderful journalists and filmmakers who really could bring storytelling to this data. As I said in the earlier segment, you know, there's 66 million girls not in school. Well, sometimes even people in development agencies and governments, that number is staggering, but sometimes you really need to put a face on those 66 million girls mm-hmm. to help really understand the nuances of the challenges that they face and also really what does move people to take action. The data, some people respond to data, but many people, I've found, respond to stories. And so what we've been trying to work on over the past 2 years, since the film launched last year, we've been, you know, trying to tap into different forums and having discussions and hosting panels and getting people to say, well, how could they help in their own unique way?
Right.
Companies can do one type of activity. Individuals can do others. Teachers can do others. There was Pearson Foundation actually created a curriculum to go along with the film and make that free and available to teachers, which has been great.
Now, you were talking about the nuances of challenges that these girls faced when they tried to pursue their education in underdeveloped countries. But I do know that in some countries, it is against the religion or culture to have a girl go to school. So how is Intel planning to overcome these barriers?
So working with the Girl Rising campaign and the local nonprofit partners, part of it is broadening the discussion to include different members of the community in talking about what are some of the benefits for the community and the families in educating girls. Obviously, you need to be respectful of all cultures, but in many cases we see it's a range of opinions that you sometimes see even within certain communities. And so one thing we've been talking about is what are some of the economic benefits for the communities in terms of sending girls to school. And so and making a connection between basic economic benefits and also health outcomes. So we've been talking about, you know, the point that when 10% more girls go to school, a country's GDP can rise by 3%, how girls and women tend to invest more back into the communities and education. Child health, a child born to a literate mother is 50% more likely to survive past the age of 5. And also girls with 8 years of education are 4 times less likely to be married as children. And one of the things we know is that death for girls between 15 and 19, childbirth is a leading cause. So providing information, providing different perspectives, and having an opening different dialogues is really the best approach. You can't force someone to change their mind, but you can provide them information that they can take into account as they're making these decisions.
Right, exactly. And like you mentioned, educating a girl has profound effects both socially and economically. And have you actually had the opportunity to travel abroad to see some of Intel's efforts in action?
I have. Over the last few years, I've been able to go to a number of different countries, and I've been at a lot of the different screenings we've been able to have. I have been able to travel in Latin America. I was in Europe a couple months ago talking to some of the girls and some of the programs that we're sponsoring there. And really what's been inspiring is just being able to have the dialogue with the girls in terms of what they love in school and why they're excited to have the opportunity to go to school, or even in the case of some of the girls who are studying science and doing hackathons in schools and in high schools in some of the regions, just the excitement of learning something they never thought they could do.
Right, and how can you describe the reception of the programs Intel has instilled among not only girls but their families as well?
Yeah, one of the most important things we've seen is it's really having the dialogue about sending a girl to school. It's also involving the boys and the men in the family. And so one of the things we found in one of the stories in the film was really some of the best advocates for getting girls to go to school. You know, obviously mothers and other people in the family are important, but we've seen brothers and fathers really take this on as an important issue. The story of Roxana from India, it was really her father who really spearheaded making sure her and her sisters were in school. And as Mira from Ethiopia, it was her brother who took a stand and said it was important for her to be able to go to school. So I think making sure that boys and men are really part of the conversation, and that we make sure while we're trying to accelerate investment for girls to be in school, we have to make sure we're also making sure we're looking at education for both boys and girls. Because really, even though the gap is larger for girls, there's still a huge global gap for boys not being able to go and stay in school.
Absolutely. And like you mentioned in the stories, not only in Girl Rising, but I also read a news story where the brothers of a girl in a Middle Eastern country, while they were allowed to go to school, the sister had to go home and stay at the home and work with the mother. And they did not see that it was fair. And they also advocated for the right for women to go and get an education. So that is very special. And sometimes it's a little bit difficult for Americans to look at these issues and really believe in them. Here we are so fortunate to have the ability to have education, whether you are a girl or a boy. So what has the response been for the younger girls in America?
It's been really interesting. The film is PG-13, so we have had a lot. We want parents to make that decision with their kids, but we have had a lot of students go to screenings. I've been at screenings with girls and young women who have been really surprised in some ways. I remember being myself. I loved school, but there were days I didn't really want to go to school,
right,
like everyone else. And I think it really, for some of them, opened their eyes in terms of truly how fortunate we are. But then also, a lot of them wanted to do something. And so they wanted to, A, learn more about the girls in the film. They wanted to learn more about the countries that were portrayed in the film. And they said, well, what can I do? Can I fundraise? Can I host my own screening at my school? Can I start a discussion group with girls at my school? So that's been, I think, the most inspiring thing is, yes, their eyes were open. They're interested. They're learning about the world through this topic. But then also they're being spurred to take action.
Right. And I actually had the opportunity to speak with Ravi Karkara of the United Nations, the special advisor to children and youth, about the issues that girls are facing in India at the moment. The horrible news story of the two girls that were gang raped, and just the attention that stories like that have gotten from the youth. This is the millennial generation, and this is the generation that wants to get up and do something and make a change in this world. So as far as goals go of getting more girls into schools, how far do you think we are from achieving these goals, as our last question for this segment?
Yeah, and I don't have a numerical answer or a nice clean answer, but I do feel like we are at a very critical moment and have an opportunity in front of us. The number of organizations that are focusing on this topic, that its gender is getting integrated into basic development discussions, and how this ties to all the other economic and health and social outcomes, that it is, this investing in girls and women has this multiplier effect. One of the facts that sticks with me is that an educated mother is twice as likely to send her kids to school, all her kids to school. So you start to see that if we can accelerate investment in girls and women at this time, we have the ability to make an impact and shrink that number of girls who aren't in school today.
Right, and I agree wholeheartedly with that response. For right now, let's go to a break. Remember, we do want to hear from all of our listeners out there. Go to facebook.com/womeninvesting and Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen. Once again, I am your host, Michelle Jaffe, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
Ready to explore the amazing world under the sea? Your host is a certified scuba diver, explorer. He likes to cook. And most of all, he's just a kid like you. You'll find out a lot more lies under the sea than what you've seen on TV, in movies, and even in aquatic parks. You'll learn about all kinds of fish, as well as other sea creatures. We'll take you to some exotic destinations and so much more. There's a whole big world under sea just waiting to be discovered. Tune in to Under the Sea, Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Kids.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids Channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
What's cooking? Join Kid Chef Eliana for Cool Kids Cook. Eliana is one of the youngest published cookbook authors and will show you that there are all kinds of goodness in food beyond the chicken nuggets and fries. On our show, we'll discover cuisine from around the world, learn some great cooking techniques, speak with some of the world's top chefs, and share recipes. Kid Chef Eliana is here for you on Cool Kids Cook every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Kids Channel. Bon appetit! You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at hashtag Women Invest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are talking to Suzanne Fallander of Intel Corporation. And for this segment, we will be talking about the female presence in technology. We already mentioned the lack of girls in technology fields in America and in other countries in the world. But referring to the lack of girls in STEM as well, what do you believe Intel finds? Do you believe that there is something inherently wrong with the way that STEM is taught? Or do you believe that there is just a social stigma attached to girls pursuing STEM?
I think it's a mixture of a lot of different factors. It's a complex issue. It's something that changes over time. I think what we are seeing is that there is this perception that because I think there are fewer women in technology today, that it is more of a male career option. And so what we're trying to do is highlight more women in technology and show girls today, as they're thinking about going into the STEM subjects, what options are available for them in careers down the road. What we're seeing is there are three main things in terms of what works, and this is, you know, from looking at the research, looking at different programs, other partners that are investing in this area, is that girls respond well to hands-on activities in STEM. So to the extent to which you can incorporate more hands-on activities like coding and stuff from the new maker movement and connect those to the STEM subject so that they're able to take the STEM concepts and the things that they're learning in those science, technology, engineering, and math disciplines and immediately be able to build something or test it or try it out. The second piece is, you know, not just exposing them to those female role models who might be very well established in their careers, but also connecting them with each other. Very often, especially if you start to get into, you know, college-level courses, there aren't as many girls and young women going into those areas, so it can be isolating. So how do you make sure that middle school girls are connected with other middle school girls, but also to high school girls, so they can be mentors, almost near peer mentors, to the middle school girls?
Right.
And then third, I think that, and perhaps the most interesting to me, going back to the whole topic of corporate responsibility, is this connecting technology and engineering careers to how those careers are helping to change the world. I think a lot of times, and we know that girls are going into science, but they're going into medicine. They're going into, when you think of engineering degrees, they're more likely to go into environmental engineering than electrical engineering.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we also talk about, we need, you know, mechanical engineers, environmental electrical engineers, and, you know, people with computer science degrees to help develop technology that helps make people's lives better and opens up people's opportunities through technology.
Right, and the variables of having hands-on activities as well as having role models are very prevalent in the programs that Intel has sponsored and created for America's youth, their girls especially, to pursue and find out more information about these careers in technology. The first one I'd love to start with is Girls Who Code. So what was the driving force for such a program to be initiated?
So this is a great program, and we learned about this program and the good work that they were doing, and it really lined up with all the reasons that I talked about, you know, kind of looking at hands-on and connecting, you know, girls with each other and role models. And so we were able to, as Intel, sponsor a cohort of young women to come and do a summer camp and learn about how these careers could be and skills could help them in the future. And it was really quite a great program. We were able to host them and connect them with women who work at Intel during that time, and so they could really talk one-on-one with them about how they develop their own careers.
Right, and how many people were involved in Girls Who Code this year?
I believe last year it was around 20.
Okay, so it is specialized, but sometimes I feel that special attention to somebody who is interested in a field that is remotely rare for women to go into is special, and it makes all the difference to have that connection for a young girl to a professional, to have that sense of role model and leadership as well.
Yes, exactly.
Right, and for you personally, what has been the most impressive aspect of Girls Who Code, in your opinion? Was it the amount of incredible inventions? Was it the amount of commitment?
So I think for me, it was how, after they finished the summer camp, that they had kind of done some practice tests, and that their skills, I believe at the end, they would have been able to pass the AP computer science test. So is it between when they started the camp and by the end, just the change in both their skills about being able to be really successful at a college level, but then also I think just their self-awareness about that they really could see themselves as someone in that field.
And that's incredible. I actually have a twin brother who is interested in engineering, and he recently took the AP computer the computer programming test, and he said it was very difficult. So the fact that these girls are able to learn so much through a summer program like this is absolutely incredible. And again, this is just one of many that Intel has sponsored. The next one, NC WIT, the Aspire IT program. What is Intel's role in this program?
So we're a sponsor of this program. This is a program for middle school girls. And there's a lot of mentoring involved to get them, again, starting early, starting at the middle school level, to get them interested in going into computer science.
Okay, and how has this program grown since it was introduced not too long ago?
It's continued to grow. We started with a pilot before, and now we've been able to continue to expand our support of the program based on the success of the activities.
Right, and success, absolutely. The responses that I found to this program have been absolutely great. It went from hesitation to parents that were a little bit hesitant about sending their girls off to such a program to relief, because the information that they gain from this is so invaluable. And what is the importance of having older girls assist in the program attendees' learning experience?
I think, as with anything, whenever you are able to teach others or also just share your own experience, it helps you as well as the person that you're mentoring or talking to. So I think there's the benefit to the older girls and young women who are helping, but then also I really do think that it's sometimes much easier to relate to someone closer to your age. So for the girls who are the younger girls, I think, are able to make a more easily connection to what their next step might be.
Awesome. And to the mothers out there who are listening to this, as well as to maybe the middle school audience that is listening to this show as well, how can girls apply for this program?
So I would say go to the NC WIT website. website, ncwit.org, to learn more about it. There's a lot of good information up there. Same with Girls Who Code, girlswhocode.org. And I think what I would also just say is that the most important thing in this is that this is exciting, and there's so much opportunity, and we need to start helping girls see that this is fun, it's challenging, it's rewarding, and that it's not something that's just for boys, and we need to change that. And the more girls we get in, the more girls that can get in and then serve as role models to other, the more we can make this whole field just a better field for everybody.
Right. And to change the focus from the way that girls are getting exposed to this technology and shifting it to now maybe older women getting accustomed to this shift to technology as well. I believe we only have time for a brief introduction, but the Intel She Will Connect, what is that about? How are we trying to close the gap with technology, if you will?
So one of the things that we mentioned in the opening segment was this Women in the Web report that we helped sponsor, and really what it highlighted was the importance of expanding access for women to the Internet and technology, because not just for technology's sake, but also because of what it connects them to, so that it connects them to education opportunities, to healthcare information, to financial resources, to jobs. And so what we've been trying to do is work with partners in this program to help close the gap, and it's going to be a global program, but we're starting in sub-Saharan Africa where the gap is the greatest, to do digital literacy training. It's a combination of the digital literacy training plus an online peer network and gender-relevant content that is delivered through local and global partners that helps expose women to technology, teach them how to use it, and also teach them how they can use it to connect to other programs and resources. And so we're really excited about this program. We're building it right now. We're scaling it in Africa. And I think this is probably one of the most promising things, because if you really look at the role that technology can play, it has the ability to empower both women, but also has that economic and social broader impact. And so we're really excited about what the possibilities for this are going forward.
Right. The possibilities are endless. And when we get back from our break, we will talk more about Intel's efforts to promote the women's education in technology. But for right now, let's go to a break. Remember, to all of our listeners out there, we do want to hear from you. Go to Facebook.com/WomenInvesting or Twitter, #WomenInvest and #InvestInWomen. Once again, I am your host, and you are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls.
What about the world concerns you? Is it future success? Is it world issues? Are you just looking to change the world in general? Tune in to What Up World. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, or what you look like. Everyone is entitled to the same chance for success. Follow your dreams. Move forward. Make a difference. Tune in to What Up World every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. You're listening to Voice America Kids.
You are listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. Be sure to join in the discussion by tweeting us at #WomenInvest or on Facebook at Women Investing in Women. We want to hear what you have to say. Now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Women Investing in Women and Girls. I'm your host, Michelle Jaffe, and we are at our last segment with Ms. Suzanne Fallander. And before we went to the break, we were talking about Intel's efforts to promote education of technology for America's youth and abroad as well. And Ms. Fallander, what makes Intel's efforts to make education and technology more accessible to girls unique?
So I think where we are focused, and I'm really excited and heartened by more and more companies focusing on empowering girls and women, but everyone has the ability to leverage their expertise in different ways. So, for example, you see financial services companies focusing on financial literacy. You see food and nutrition companies, you know, focusing on wellness and health information. We are a technology company and one that has a long history of investing in education because of the link we see between education and technology. And innovation.
Right.
So where we are unique, we have really focused in on the education and technology portions of that. And I think what is also unique is that we've been able to bring lots of different groups from across the company together. It's not just done by our corporate responsibility group. We've been very directly engaged with our product teams and sales and marketing groups, our HR and diversity organizations to come together to do this across the company. And that's, I think, been one of the things that I've been most proud of, is that we've really tried to integrate it across the organization.
Right. And of all careers to be involved in, why did you choose to pursue a job trying to tackle these global issues?
I think I've always wanted to have a career that had, you know, positive social impact. And I think currently, I mean, being at Intel, it's a company I'm very proud to work for. We do a lot of really good work across many different social responsibility topics. But the opportunity to work in this girls and women's space kind of goes back to what I said a little bit earlier, which is that this is an opportunity to change something in my lifetime, that we've made an enormous amount of progress. I think about my grandmother. When I showed her Girl Rising for the first time, she got tears in her eyes a little bit, and she said, because she, when she was 14, she had to leave school so that they'd have enough money to send her brothers to school. And so she's saying, you know, in my lifetime, I'm seeing that, you know, there's still girls who are, you know, facing this, but that there's this chance and opportunity for this to go away completely. And that's kind of what I'm excited about, is that I think in the next decade, this will look very different, and we'll just see even more positive change, and more girls feeling that they can have the power not just to go to school, not just to use technology, but become creators of that technology.
Right, and I understand the reaction to these efforts as well. I have had the privilege of being able to attend school, and yet when I watched the documentary, I too became pretty emotional. Just because you don't realize that these girls live the life that they do, we are sheltered in a country that is so fortunate. So to see the sacrifices that other girls make our same age is, it's very strong, and it definitely inspires action in a lot of us, trying to remedy these wrongdoings.
And it's also really looking that these girls are changing it themselves. And that's, I think, the most powerful thing. We can help. We can give voice to their stories. But really what inspires me most about the girls in the film and the other girls that I've met through our programs is that they are changing their own reality. And that is what true empowerment is.
Right. They're not playing the victims. They're all mini warriors in their own way. So that is also very special. And do you believe that you have achieved your dream job?
I do joke about that. Yes, I sometimes can't believe that this is my, well, my mom teases me. She's like, they pay you to do that job. It is an amazing privilege and opportunity to get to work on the things I get to work on here and the people I get to meet. And so, you know, I feel incredibly fortunate to have the job that I do.
Right. And creating change in these areas that you are is very difficult. There's no debating that. There are many obstacles and hoops to jump through in order to rewire the world's perception of girls seeking a better life for themselves. So what keeps you motivated when these obstacles present themselves in the work that you do?
Yeah, I think anything that's worth changing and doing is going to be hard. And frankly, most jobs are hard. So if you're going to have a hard job, you might as well have a job that is where you can see at the at the end goal that it's something that is really personally meaningful to you and you know is important for so many others. So I think it's just about keeping that long-term view and not getting too discouraged. And the main thing with throughout my career in corporate responsibility is you have to also be really thankful and excited about the small steps. Change doesn't happen in big leaps. I've always experienced that some of the most important work we've done at Intel sound boring. They sound, you know, they're different procedures we're putting in place with our suppliers. They're, you know, small different changes we've been able to do in our water conservation practices that have been able to save, you know, water in certain ways. But then it's the multiplication of all of that that is what is going to move things forward and change the reality.
Right, and there's no doubt that you have to employ so many different skills to be good at what you do and to have an understanding of different cultures and to be patient because, like you said, there are times when things aren't so easy to get a solution by and the problems are very, very big and global. So what other knowledge have you learned from your work with corporate responsibility issues?
I think it's always about balancing the global and the local. So we are very fortunate to have a global team of experts around the world who work on corporate responsibility issues. And why that's important is that even though we can have these big global programs, it's critical to also address the local needs, meet with local stakeholders, do assessments, and understand, you know, what programs are going to have the most impact on the ground. And so to have that regular dialogue and meeting to understand, you know, where do we need some changes to programs that will make sure that they're impactful. So I think companies that can set up a structure that have that local expertise and knowledge around the world is critical. And the other thing I think is important is to continually relook at your programs and relook at how to make them better and also how to tie them to the as close as you can to the core business of the company. There's this concept called shared value that Michael Porter out of Harvard and the group FSG have been working on, and Intel has been a partner on that as well, which is how do we help companies take corporate responsibility to that next level in terms of engaging even more business groups across the company so that you unlock more resources, more thinking, more creativity, so that we can help work with other organizations externally to drive and scale some of these programs.
Right, and the progress that Intel has made so far is, again, it's absolutely incredible. What are some of the upcoming projects that you have in your career at Intel or that Intel is working on right now to achieve?
So I mentioned the Intel She Will Connect program. That's going to be a multi-year you know, program and project that I'm very excited about. That will take up a lot of our time in the girls and women's space. We're also collaborating with the Half the Sky movement, and so that is something that we're also continuing to work on this year and next. Again, going back to highlighting kind of solutions and the importance of investing in education and technology to remove barriers for girls and women. And more broadly in the corporate responsibility space, one of the other main things we're working on, which has more of an indirect impact on girls and women, but is the topic of conflict minerals.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been working with others in our industry and NGOs and other organizations to make sure that we can catalyze action to reduce the instance of conflict in the supply chain.
Right, it is all very exciting. And once again, how can we get involved? It's one thing to say that we can talk about it and we can be inspired by these movies and these movements, but how can the average person make a change in this world for these causes?
So I think I always like kind of the three words that we sometimes use internally to organize some of our action for employees, but it's learn, act, and share. I think the first thing that's important is that these are complex issues, and so it is important to learn more about them and learn what people are doing, learn what is out there. And so a few good ways to learn would be to go to intel.com/women, learn about our programs, ask us questions. We've got contact places on the web where you can reach out to us. We're also very active in social media, so going to Intel Involved on Twitter, so the @ Intel Involved. Girl Rising. GirlRising.com has a wealth of information, and you can sign up to get emails there to learn. And then, of course, the other websites of the organizations we also talked about. On ACT, I think the easiest thing to do on acting is to look at how, go to GirlRising.com. They have a number of things you can do to get involved. There, you can help host a screening. You can volunteer with an organization that is working with girls and women. And then also you can help and donate or do a fundraiser to help accelerate the work of these great groups that are already engaged. And then on share, I think we underestimate the importance of sharing the message of the campaigns, of the work that's happening, so that more people are aware. Because changing people's minds on these issues will take a lot of time, but it's also going to take a diversity of individuals and organizations that can lend their voice to catalyze this movement. So whether it's through social media, whether it's by just talking to people in your school, talking to your family members, really talking about why this is important and what can be done.
Right. Ms. Fallander, it has been an absolute honor to be able to interview you today. To all of our listeners, we want to hear what you think about this issue. Go on Facebook.com/womeninvesting or on Twitter, #womeninvest and #investinwomen. Thank you again to all of our listeners for listening. You've been listening to Women Investing in Women and Girls. This show is produced by KidStar for the Voice America Kids Network. Up next, a track from the KidStar album of the month.
Thank you for joining us today. Your hosts will be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, for another edition of Women Investing in Women and Girls on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll talk then.
From Phoenix, Arizona, and host of Bookworm. The KidStar album of the month this month is Back in School, Neil Brewer and Friends. Let's listen to Three Kids in the Car.
Three kids in the car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the sister's sitting in the front seat, who at this part of the song you need to realize is about 3 months away from getting her driver's license. She's thinking to herself, I can't believe that I'm still riding with them. I hope that we're not seen by some of my friends. And if by chance I fail the driver's exam, then I am running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And I can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. Brothers sitting behind her, who at this point of the song you need to realize is about 5 years younger than she is, but he's still about 2 years older than his little brother sitting next to him. He glares down at his little brother and he's thinking to himself, I can't wait till our sister's finally gone. Then I'll sit up front cause that's where I belong. And I'll be rid of you, you miserable worm. Why don't you just run away? Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done bad enough. And the little brother, who at this point of the song you need to realize is a whole lot smarter than the other two think he is. He glares back up at his big brother and he's thinking to himself, I know that there's nobody back in the trunk. Try to scare me with all the junk. I hope you read my mind, I think you're a skunk. And guess what, I'm not running away. Three kids in a car on a Monday morning, each one wishing that the others weren't born. And they can't say nothing because they've all been scorned because their mother's done had enough. And the mother who's been driving all this time, she's thinking to herself, things that I'd better not say. So we'll just pretend that she's thinking,
album of the month is Back in School by Neil Brewer and Friends. All musical proceeds Neil Brewer and Friends received are donated to the Harvard Stem Cell Institute to put an end to muscular dystrophy. For more information, go to the KidStar website, www.kidstar.org.